tragics. We're weekend packers, and we love that's the right. game of golf. And I think that's...
I showed you guys that on the weekend.
Yes, 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 you did. We'll get to that shortly.
Welcome to episode 18 of the Golf Days Australia podcast, sponsored by Cobra Puma Golf and Dint Putters. Broadcasting to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Anchor, and more. Remember to smash that follow button. Give us a five-star review. Yet another change in the world number one this week, fellas. We're down to the top 70 in the FedEx Cup. We'll chat about who's in and who's out. Northern Trust, Scotty Scheffler shoots a 59 and just the 12th sub-60 round in the history of PGA Tour. DJ shoots a disappointing 60. Is that even fathomable? And that was only Friday, those two. We wrap the Northern Trust and all the movements in the FedEx Cup standings as we head to round two of the playoffs. We talk around the grounds. There is another Aussie winner on tour. Curtis Luck gets up at the Nationwide Children's Championship on the Corn Ferry. PGA Tour 2K21 is out. We'll give you our initial thoughts. We'll also be drawing the winner of the net return competition for the $200 voucher. So looking forward to that, Nate. And we saw Amy off to Europe last week. So alongside me this week is Nate. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. Good. Another good week of golf. Plenty of action all around and some great Aussie results. So looking forward to getting through this one.
Good, good. And now, some say this guy plays golf left-handed but plays out of the bushes with his right foot. It's also been told that he claims to get free golf everywhere he plays by pulling the Don't You Know Who I Am card. It's the one, the only, it's Double Par. Welcome back, mate.
G'day, choppers. What's going on?
Oh, just the usual, mate. Back for another recording of our fabulous podcast here. And I'm not sure how you keep getting an invite, but that...
How do people know who you are if you're anonymous, like when you try and get free golf everywhere?
When I send an email, because I always announce before I go,
yep.
I tell them what time I'll get there, and they're not allowed to look. They're not allowed to open their eyes until I'm down the first.
Nice. I like it. So they've got to have the cart or whatever waiting for you. Just everything set up. You're right to go. Your scorecard's there. And just...
I've got like a rider. You know how like musos have got a rider? I'm like six Pro V1s. They're all got to be number two as well. All got to be number two. With a blue dot. Always going to be a blue dot.
Maybe shots out of each bunker.
A couple of bottles of Evian. Yep. And those big tees, you know, those big rubber ones that you're playing past.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
20 minutes looking for because they go off everywhere. Yeah, I need a couple of them too.
Yeah, I found a trick tip with those anyway, by the way. I can fill you in later on that. But
tell us now. Come on. What is the trick tip?
That little rubber tip on the top of it, you... and it doesn't go flying anymore. You don't take it off. You just leave it sort of, you know, pants down.
And so the rubber tip that's there to protect your golf club, you remove that.
But your golf club is literally just smashing a golf ball that's probably a lot harder than the tee itself. So what's it really protecting?
Yeah, Steve-O's one of these wankers that ties another tee to that tee. and then puts that in the ground. Yeah, you've seen that.
Right.
I've seen him finding two broken ones and gluing them back together. Don't worry, DP.
No, that was Double Par. That wasn't me. Right, that was Double Par. He's that low. All right, boys, we had the Northern Trust at TPC Boston, Norton, Massachusetts. Over the weekend, what are your thoughts on this week's play, first round of the FedEx Cup playoffs?
I hated it.
Ooh, didn't like it. No good?
No, I mean, like, I'm happy to talk about DJ and get through all that, and obviously what he did was incredible, and to win by that margin is ridiculous. But I don't know, just seeing guys... I know the rest of them had 19, 18 under, which has probably been the average this tour, but I'm just starting to feel like I don't enjoy watching them just bomb and gouge and shoot the lights out. I mean, we're going to talk about Scheffler's 59 and DJ 60, which is incredible, but they missed half the fairways and they shoot a 59 and 60. I don't know how you shoot that low when you're missing half the fairways. There's got to be more punishment there. And for me, I think we'll talk about it later, but it needs to be tougher. And watching, you know, the girls play the British Open, I love that kind of golf. And just going back to that, I just Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't do it for me this week, but DJ was impressive.
Oh, DJ just took it to another level, really. Like Ian Baker-Finch talked about it early on the last round. There was another tournament going on out there, you know, the battle for second. DJ was just lengths ahead of him. And it's like the rest of the field below, say, the top five, didn't play too badly, but it wasn't really low scoring. Not like DJ and Scheffler obviously shooting a 59. But yeah, I do agree with you. It was a bomb and chip fest by the top guys there. So
I feel bad now you say that about how it was a fight for second. I do get bored when somebody's that far out in front. I want to see a close comp, but then I'm a hypocrite in saying that as well, because if it's Ricky or Tiger or Bryson that far ahead, I'm loving every second of it, and I'm riding it and just going, you just keep pushing. Like seeing Tiger win by 10 would be the best thing ever.
So the question here maybe on DJ for a sec. So you get that far ahead of the pack, and when you're playing that good, playing that well, how do you go about your game? Do you settle back and not push that, put so much pressure on each hole, or do you keep the throttle down so as to not upset the apple cart and keep the form going? What do you do in that situation? Do you just keep going?
I can't. I'm the worst person for this advice. I was six up with seven holes to go in the pennant match out here and ended up squaring the match because I took the foot off the pedal. I just tried to win a couple more holes and then it starts to get into your head. So for me, that far ahead, I'd probably be worse than being one or two shots behind. For him, I think he's just such a cool, calm character where he does his own thing. He's got his swag. He was just going after it, just playing his game. But for most other people, it would be tough in that spot.
Just head down, bum up, right? Just keep it going. If you're playing that well, why not? And similar to you, I've had a similar situation in a match play event where I've been up, you know, I think it was five holes up, and yeah, same thing. Took the pedal off the floor and let him back in, and he ended up taking it out after two playoff holes after. So.
Par, what do you do when you're a mile ahead in a comp?
I've done both and found that you're more successful if you keep the pedal to the
The
minute you try and protect the lead or you go,
three wood instead of driver.
Three wood. You're dead set. You have to just keep playing your game. And look, DJ was in the groove. He was flushing it. Didn't matter what he did. And I think that's the right mentality. Just keep with it and,
Had more eagles than bogeys. I think he had five eagles. All, and he had three bogeys.
Yeah, five eagles all weekend. I think that's a record breaking, apparently, as the commentators called it today. Five eagles.
Yeah, three bogeys. Holy shit.
Insane. But let's get to the 59 and cover that off for today, because that was insane. And it was probably overshadowed a little bit by DJ's round because he was on fire in his first 11 holes. He was 11 under. So it was kind of overshadowed because it quickly happened in the morning and then DJ's round came through. And that's what everyone was talking about. And on the 59 watch, I certainly was on the 59 watch with him, thinking that, you know, we were going to get a second in the same day. He obviously... couldn't get it done, unfortunately. Party's way home after 11 holes. But that 59, it's phenomenal. And I think Amanda interviewed him today during the breakdown in weather delay, and you know, asked him if he'd had time to reflect on it as yet. I mean, he's obviously not even finished the tournament, but he said, no, I haven't really had time to reflect on it as yet. I'm sure I will in the weeks to come. But you know, he's just, you know, and enjoying, concentrating and playing good golf. And yeah, that's the result that happened at 59. It's crazy.
50. It was an amazing round and awesome to watch. And I mean, birdie fest is great. And I couldn't imagine what that feeling is like as a player. But again, like what I said before, he hit 50% of the fairways. I don't get where you can hit half the fairways, like literally 50%, and shoot a 59. He had 12 birdies. He gets 90% of greens in reg. It's incredible. I just don't get the course set up there. I don't get how that's the PGA at this time of year. But
yeah, for playoffs, right? It's a low scoring event for a playoff event. Like, I don't know how that works. You know, shouldn't playoffs be harder than the rest of the season? Surely you're playing against the top of the top, you know, the top 130 in this case. So your field is strong, but the course not living up to that. I'm not sure whether that was the right outcome. And I heard a few talk about it today where, you know, Massachusetts was really dry and windy for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, and the course is, you know, damp. It's the greens are sticking. Like, I don't know how it's playing that soft when it's been so dry there lately.
Yeah, I don't know. It was definitely a easy course, and there was some low scores and you know, a lot of sub 70 scores and low 60. So 59-60 on the same day is pretty good. I don't have any idea how DJ did not shoot a 57.
Yeah, 11 under after 11 holes. It was, yeah, it was intense. And yeah, watching that, watching him come home and just not be able to make a birdie putt, it was painful to watch because you just wanted him to get that 59, break 60 at least. But yeah, you're right, Nate. Thinking after 11 holes, he should have been hitting a 57.
Someone tell me what he was doing on. Did anyone see his 18th hole that round? He lays up. He has 213 to the hole. This is DJ. He's 11 under through 11. He's going par, 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 par. And then he hits 131-yard shot to lay up 80 yards out from the hole. And I'm just like,
so he missed the fairway. And he had the ball below his feet, I think, from memory. And, you know, the commentators are talking about it. Trevor's on the spot as well. And he, hits a wedge? To lay up. Yeah. And as soon as he strikes it, all the commentators were like, what? Huh?
Yeah.
What? They didn't see it coming. And they were totally shocked by it. And yeah, it lays up. And then I think his approach shot even then wasn't the greatest either. And left himself plenty for
24 foot
for birdie. And I was sitting there looking at the lie and the ball position and going, I'd be laying up for sure all day. I mean, I'm not a pro anyway, so it's not really up for debate. But that was the thought in my mind when he was playing that shot, and then to hear the commentators, you know, really shocked that he'd actually laid up. Like, he can hit him long anyway. So yeah,
it was just crazy. Scotty made four birdies on those last, you know, five holes. So you're thinking, all right, DJ, he makes four birdies in the last five holes. So you're thinking if DJ does that, he shoots a 56 here. So you're thinking 57, 58, like at least 59. I know they asked him afterwards, you know, was he disappointed with a 60? And he was like, no way. Like, why would I be disappointed with a 60? I just shot a 60. And that's DJ. He just wouldn't give a shit probably. And he probably just doesn't.
And they're all thinking, just, I'm fortunate enough to be in that position, I'd be disappointed with a 60.
Yeah, and I was thinking, well, there's no way, like, in my head that I was disappointed for him. I was more just gobsmacked that he didn't have a 57, 58, but at the end of the day, 60's a 60, and it still just shot him straight up the lead, and he just ran it from there.
It wasn't that approach shot on 18. It wasn't that far from getting over that tier on the green. I think it hit that tier and pulled back, but he must have been thinking on his second shot that he just hit one up there, hit an approach shot, dial it in and tap it in for birdie and get the 59. I don't know. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but yeah, it was an amazing round all the same to go 11 under through 11 holes. If only we're ever in that position to be great like that, it would be.
What's Brooks thinking?
Yeah, what is he thinking? What happened to him?
He's thinking.
Pulled the pin.
He's thinking DJ's only won one major. He's only won one major.
Exactly. It still stands. Yeah, it still stands.
Oh, that's good.
Interesting that Brooks pulled out and then DJ just runs away with it. It's just like, you know, it's just giving him some fire on his belly, I think, for DJ as well.
So before this week's tournament, the largest margin of victory this year was 6 shots. So DJ smashes that with 11. He was what in the within the last round, he was 16 points ahead in strokes gained from tee to green in the tournament. That's insane, those numbers. And Scheffler today as well. He played what the back nine without a caddy. So
caddy mate, down.
Scotty McGinnis.
Caddy down.
With his bag, with the bag on his back, jumped up in the middle of the fairway to get a better look at the green. And he came down and felt something pop. He said afterwards, but he wasn't sure if it was his calf or whether it was the clubs clattering in the bag. But given the way his calf felt, I think it was a pop. And nice one there.
I'm just cracking a beer. Sorry for those listening. I want to know when the last time double par you jumped with the bag on the back.
No.
When is he ever carried? He's got enough weight on him to worry about alone carry a bag.
only wankers carry. That's it. You'd carry, wouldn't you, Nate? Yeah, that's you do carry.
There's no way that I carry. For sure. I am in the same boat with you on this one. I'm happy to offend anyone out there that's carrying. They annoy me. It just makes me feel... It makes me feel lazy watching them as well, but because I'm like, golf is hard enough as it is, and like pushing a buggy and walking, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 Ks, depending on how sideways you hit it, and then people are carrying it. I'm just like, and putting it down and getting the club out and then putting the club back in and then carrying it again. No chance. Nah, but pretty funny scenes, you know, he goes up there and still putts out and then has to, you know, decide what to do and ends up getting a local caddy. They replace him in there with a guy that works there, I think, and jumped on the bag with him, and they just kept it rolling.
So there's footage of him pacing out his own yardage.
I saw that, yeah.
Sprinkler heads, which was, yeah, it's kind of cool to see. And I think on that particular hole where they showed footage of him pacing it out, he hits it, you know, pin high, about 8 foot right of the pin. So he's obviously got nothing wrong with his own game in his ability to pick it anyway. So that's a cool thing. Cam Davis, what happened with him on the weekend?
He shit the bed.
Absolutely.
He shit the bed.
Struggled on the weekend. What did he shoot? 64, 65, 73, 73, and misses next week now. He's 84 in the FedEx Cup standings. Birdie Eagle to start today. But gave it back on 5 and 6. But yeah, he shit the bed today, unfortunately.
Yeah, you feel sorry for him. I mean, he's had such a good season, and obviously now that really unfortunately pushes him out of the playoffs, and he was actually a good chance of kind of making next week. But I think it's a good learning season for him. He's played really well. He knows that he can match the big boys, and he's put in some solid efforts and solid results. And, you know, he was in the mix for a long time and obviously had a tough weekend, and you got to learn from that. So you will hear about him plenty going forward.
Cam, I've got to fess up, mate, if you're listening. Cam, I had money on you to be top five today, so it's probably my fault. Sorry, bud.
Oh.
The dead set turning point for him, there was an obvious turning point in his third round when he had a double par.
Hey. We need some kind of sound effect when you say that, just to like, yeah,
we do we'll enter that in. He was the only double par, I think, in the PGA this week. We'll get on to the women's later, I'm sure, because they kept me busy. But yeah, and I actually watched that live on the 16th, and it was just he just had an explosion. Like, he started talking to himself, and it was all downhill. I think he was striping the ball really well. You look at his first two rounds; he's at a 64 and a 65. He was playing good golf. Like, he was up there. And I think it just all got between his head. I don't know. It's interesting.
And we go on to, I suppose, the FedEx Cup standings then. So there was an interesting piece or interesting thing that was happening through today's round with Louis Oosthuizen. It essentially came down to the last hole for him today. He needed to birdie the 18th in order to take the 70th spot off Doc Redman. After his second into the par 5 18th, Trevor Immelman came out and said that Louis had asked him if it had made the green, because this was after the rain delay and it was quite dark out there. Apparently, Louis said he'd hit several 3-irons during the warm-up, you know, in the weather delay, and he fatted every one of them in the warm-up. But then he gets out there and nails it to reach the green in two. And one putt gets him an eagle and into 66th spot. Two putts and he just scrapes into the 70th. So, yeah, he made the second putt, birdied it, and took the spot off Doc Redman. Sorry, bud.
So with that rain delay, he knew he had that shot coming.
Yeah. So he'd already hit
the delay. Got to practice that perfect, or try to practice that perfect 3-iron to make it.
Yeah, he tried to practice it and fatted every one of them, apparently.
You got to be... Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you're getting closer to obviously a good one then, aren't you? you got to be spewing if you're Doc Redman there, and like that's when the rain delays come in and he, you know, gets time, I guess, to try and prepare for that shot. But it has got to be the only time in the entire PGA season where the projected standings actually mattered.
Yeah.
You now say that no one cares, like, you know, third round into the second tournament of the year that the projected. Nobody cares about it. The one time, finally, there was a moment where everyone was like, ooh, this really does mean something. So, look, hopefully if Louis goes on and does something, they'll be going back and looking at that over again. But he'll probably miss out this week and nobody will care.
Speaking of missing out, Mickelson. You won't advance to the second last round of this year for the first time since the inception of the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Such a shame.
Nate's squirming in his chair there. He doesn't want to talk about
it. No, I want to talk about it. I love it. Such a shame. Oh, I'm so sad for Phil. I'm so sad that we're not going to see him the next 2 weeks. But in saying I am pretty excited. I'm not going to watch him on the Champions Tour, but it is exciting that he will be still playing golf. So obviously going into the US Open, he says, I don't just want to have the 2 weeks off. He feels like he's been playing some decent golf. So he's making his Champions Tour debut. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how he does out there and mixing it with those guys. And, you know, Bernhard Langer paired up with Phil Mickelson will be pretty cool to watch.
Double par. Doesn't Phil look good for 50?
His calves. How good are his calves?
Like an Adonis.
He's a great... How good are left-handed golfers? You ever met a bad left-handed golfer? I don't think you have. You can't name me a bad left-handed golfer, can you, Nate?
Oh, I've got one.
Who?
You double par.
Oh, he's up. He's up. He's up. Harry, can we talk about Harry Higgs?
Yeah,
go for it.
How good... He's my new hero. It's his, I don't know whether it's his.
Explain him to the people that don't know him.
Craig Parry, I reckon.
Like, pretty similar physique to the double par right here.
Very similar physique. he's got a bit of a swagger, but he looks a bit nerdy. He's a bit, I don't know, he's a kind of like, you've got a bit of a soft spot for him. You're like, he's like the David Boone, the Merv Hughes, that sort of character. I think he's I'm gonna follow him and see what he does. He's my new
look out for Higgsy.
Higgsy, yeah.
He bogeyed the last hole today or something, and I watched him, you know, taking his ball out of cup and doing the whole fist or elbow or, you know, whatever they're doing, and they've got to decide, like, after finishing out decide whether they're fist bumping or elbowing or whatever they're doing. And yeah, that bit of nerdiness crept in there. I could see.
Yeah, there's something about him. I know he's awkwardly cool. I think that's the way I'm going to describe him.
There's a few of them out there that are that kind of category. I think you're either one side or the other, I feel like, on the PGA. And keep out for Higgsy. But can we talk about the big cat for a sec? Tiger, bit of Tiger watch.
You
know, he fired his 66 today, which was his lowest, best round of the year. So a little bit of momentum there. He's a fair way down the FedEx, but he's playing next week, so that's all that matters. I think he's going to need probably a top five to move into that final round, so he's going to need a decent run next week. But he finally started to roll the rock pretty well. although, you know, his ball striking was just pretty pure to start off on that front nine today. And his putter strayed a little bit on the back. He missed a 4-foot putt for birdie on 15. But if he can get that birdie, he can get that putter going. Birdie trains there, so look out. I'm excited to see Tiger next week.
On Friday, they were talking about him having around on average, what was it, 190 odd yards in for his approach shots. It's a long way in for all your approach shots. So he's obviously not bombing it like he used to, and he can't. His back won't let him really. But yeah, it's a long way for an approach shot. When we're talking a little earlier about it being a bomb and chip fest, that's a long way in.
190 yards. That is a long way in. It must be. I'm just trying to find out what his drive distance was. Driving distance to average was 302 this week. So he's still getting it out there, old Tiger, averaging 302. Whereas someone like Zach Johnson, another vanilla pudding one, average is 285. So Zach's hitting it 285.
Speaking of those who are playing next week, so there's a few that get through. So, yeah, a couple of notables there. Jason Kokrak, Louis Oosthuizen, as we talked to before. Harry Higgs, we talked to before. Russell Henley jumped 40 spots to get into the top 70 this week as well. Alex Noren, Bobby Shelton. Yeah, so there's a few.
Steve, massive ones for them.
Who missed out? Who are the five that...
There's a few in there. Sun Kang, Denny McCarthy, Phil Mickelson, we already talked about, and a couple other, probably no names really.
What?
Oh, they got names. Can you pronounce them? Can you pronounce them, Steve?
Spell it out for me and I'll give it a go. Yeah.
A couple of guys missed a cut, and that's a lot of money out for those guys as well. So, you know, big moves at this end of the season, especially looking at cards for next season, money, finance, you know, it goes a long way.
Sponsors, got to talk about sponsors. What about Rory, though? Rory's missing, eh, this time of the year? What, you had lunch with the Tiger? You spoke about Tiger. Him and Rawls had burgers. They had burgers after the round.
How much would you pay to be at that table? Imagine
you reckon they upsized
play Augusta.
You reckon they upsized? I want to know if they get large fries. What do you reckon, Nate?
Tiger's body is his temple, and so is Rory. So I don't think they would have.
So just plain burgers, small chicken.
I think the burger would have done it for him.
Massive cuts this week, but if you look at like who missed the cut, like Bryson, Morikawa, Im, Ansa, Leish, Finau, I know that the field's getting tighter, but if you would have told me that the top 10 this week was going to be the players it was, it was a strange looking leaderboard with DJ, Harris English, Berger, Kisner, Scheffler, Palmer was there, Henley was there, Noren made a move, Brian Harman, Harry Higgs, Robbie Shelton. So there's some weird names, that came through. Just a bit of a different. It was a weird, strange tournament. But John Rahm made a good run up there today. He shot 6 under, I think, today. Brian Harman 7 under. But yeah, next week will be interesting to see who builds on that momentum.
Last week to get into the top 130, and then he's missed the cut this week, so it doesn't get an opportunity or give himself an opportunity to keep going. Patrick Cantlay missed the cut. Gary Woodland. Yeah, there's a fair few in there. Abe Ansa. Fair few in there that missed the cut this week.
All right. Any takeaways? I'm going to go first. 30 underscores suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's Tiger or Bryson.
60, you get scored. But I don't necessarily. What we were saying, the average score after shooting a 59 is actually a 69. So it's not the two that scored low this weekend scored low the following round as well. So, there's something to be said about 30 underscores sucking. Takeaway for me is around the playoff format. Is it really a playoff? Like, sure, they're dropping the cut. Dropping the top 130 into 70 into what is it, 30 again the following week. But it's actually a playoff. Like, they're not playing 1v1 or anything like that. It's just you're playing the same thing every week. It's just reducing the number of players in the field. Like, it's not really except
that last round, I guess. You know, going to a seeded, they seed the last round, so they actually start on scores. So first place starts on minus 10, and then they start on minus 8. So they get seeded for that last run. Last year was the first time they did that, where Rory won. So, I like it. It was something different. It rewards the person who's come first over the season. There's probably different ways that they can do it. I definitely, this is the first playoff this week, but... Yeah, I think there's options there, and I like what they've done with the seeded score starting in the last.
Yeah, I like the final round way of running it. It's just getting to that stage. Is it too long in the tooth? What if they ran, playoffs and it was 1v1? Thursday, Friday 1v1 to make the weekend. And then you play the next person in line on the Saturday, Sunday to make next week. And then go into next week and do the same thing, and then you get down to the final groups and play a full weekend's round to make the final weekend. I don't know. Yeah, there are options out there, but I'm not sold on it being called playoffs when it's not really a playoff until the final round where your scores get seeded before you start. Anyway, just a thought.
Yeah,
I don't really like it.
If you're going to make the playoff, make it harder anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, course-wise, make it harder. Yeah. So, Nate, we've got the net return competition to run. Let's have it, Nate.
What's
the competition again?
Netreturn.com.au. HT is looking after a series, giving away $200 voucher to his online store. So the people just had to jump onto his Facebook page, Netreturn Australia. They had to go on there and find the post that we were talking about. And all they needed to do was tag some friends in it and tag us at Golf Days Australia in it as well. So we had a number of people do it. Obviously, people want to, improve their home setups. So we're going to spin the wheel now, and we are going to find out who the winner of the $200 voucher to spend is. And it is Grant Rawson. So congrats to Grant Rawson, mate. You've won yourself a $200 voucher to spend. We'll get you in touch with HT, and he'll look after you and you go shopping, mate. There's a few good items in there, and we're going to run some more promos soon, so keep tuned with that one. But yeah, netreturn.com.au for all your home setups, nets, simulators, launch monitors, the works, the mats, and everything. So thanks for that, HT, and thanks for that net return.
Moving on, maybe let's do around the ground, mate.
Yeah, we'll quickly do a wrap up around the other tours. Some exciting things happening around the world. Obviously, massive Curtis Luck, first win as a pro on the Korn Ferry. He's had a few starts on the Korn Ferry, so it's good to see Curtis. He was on the PGA and then lost his card. I have to check that, but he'd been around, and you would have thought with his amateur status and how what he'd done there that this win would have come a bit earlier for him. But really, really stoked that he's broken through over there. Shot 11 under. Kept his nerve in those last few closing holes. 7-foot putt on the last. Should secure a spot for the US Open. I think it puts him into second or third in the Korn Ferry, and I think top five get to go through. So should get a start at the US Open, which is great because he actually had a chance to start in the US Open when he was an amateur, but he decided to turn pro after the Masters. So then missed out. That meant he was ineligible to play the US Open that year. But I'm a massive Curtis fan. Love his clothing. His shirts are just flame all the time. Apologies to Puma, a sponsor I know, but his Callaway Japan stuff is awesome. It was just a great breakthrough win. Anyone got any takes on Curtis?
No, it was great. Great to see another Aussie up in there and getting potential shot at the US Open as well.
Love his shirt. His shirt was fantastic.
He doesn't mind a bold shirt.
Hunters today. What was his shirt like today? Describe it.
It's something, you know, when you're on a bender with the boys, like, you know, one of those Hawaiian shirt things, you know, like, oh, you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt. It was like that, but stylish. I don't know. Is that how, that's how I'd probably describe it.
So if you put the same shirt on.
It was a happy shirt. It was a Sunday drinking shirt, but he was wearing it to win money in a Corn Ferry. It was great.
Yes, that's, yeah. And shout out to his sponsor. And if they want to throw me one, I think it was, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. But
no, but it's anyway. Funny. It's Callaway. I don't know about Callaway, but it's the Japanese Callaway. Like you can't even get it over. I've tried before to get their stuff, but Puma have got just as good as shirts at the moment. So let's just back on to that one. So that was the Corn Ferry. Brett Druitt, Harrison Endicott, they made the cut as well. Coletta, Jamie Arnold, Ryan Ruffles, they missed the cut there, but. If we jump over to the girls, massive, massive major on the weekend, the Women's Open over in Scotland at Troon. It was unreal golf. Sofia Popov ended up shooting 7-under, 1 by 2 shots, and just played ridiculously good golf. There wasn't too many girls that were under par. I think there was only 5 on the last round that actually shot a score under par. And, you know, Minji Lee was there in the final group, and she finished 3rd. And that's, I think, her equal best in a major. But, yeah, just so enjoyable to watch. Testing conditions, the wind got up through those first few rounds. Just the course was just playing really, really tough. And the girls did really well to handle it. You know, $4.5 million up for grabs, which is great to see. I think Minji ends up winning just under $300,000 for her result. Hannah Green had a decent result as well. So, you know, she had no bogeys on her final round today, but also no birdies, which she mentioned she was just as disappointed. She was happy that she had no bogeys, but no birdies as well. But, Sophia's the first female from Germany to win a major. You know, more than 6 times her career earnings she won today, $675,000. You know, just massive. It's a great story as she got there as well. She ranked number 304 in the world. She never won a senior professional event before. She lost her card on the LPG Tour at the end of last year, and she only qualified for the Open because she had a top 10 finish 2 weeks ago in Ohio in the Marathon Classic. Now, she was only playing in the Marathon Classic in Ohio because higher-ranked players couldn't attend because of COVID-19.
Yeah, wow.
So she gets into that. She then gets a top 10, which gets her into the Open, goes to the Open, and then wins it over there. It's just, you know, it's just a great story. She revealed today that she had a heap of health issues as well. She had Lyme disease, a few other things. She caddied for one of her friends in the LPGA a couple of weeks back. Great story. Just one of those fairy tale stories, which the British Open had last year and this year as well. So good to see. It made me really wish the men's Open Championship was still on. I just love that kind of golf, and the girls were great. I enjoyed it more than the PGA this week.
Yeah, she also had her boyfriend on the bag for her this week as well, which was because she couldn't have her family over there. That was at least comforting for her to have a boyfriend there, which she said.
Well, at least she had a caddy. Lindsay Weaver had no caddy. So, you know, she's a girl that always gets local caddies. And the LPGA have a no local caddy rule with their COVID restrictions and everything else. So she's like, well, don't worry, I'll push the bag myself. She made a ridiculous par on one hole and she was just on her own. She couldn't high five anyone. There was no one there to fist bump. So it was a real, real kind of strange scene to see. And they actually offered her a caddy, I think, halfway through when she made the cut. And she said, nah, stuff it. I'll do it on my own. And yeah, so shout outs to Lindsay Weaver. It was funny, but seeing her, you know, push a push cart down Royal Troon playing the British Open.
The Women's Open.
Lexi Thompson.
Yes. Let's talk about that. That was, I don't know, there was a few comments in the group this week from people that were claiming that we should set her up and Patrick Reed.
Yeah, she just, I don't
she
know.
Didn't, she didn't do anything wrong.
She tried to push.
She's being cleared, Nate.
I know, she but has. Of course, it went back to the original. It didn't improve the lie. She pushed a bush down, but it flung back up behind the ball What's she trying to do there? Just see how flexible it is. Just like that's what I mean. You can't. Yeah, look, like so,
plenty of blokes listening now. Plenty of listeners now wouldn't have seen what had happened. Yeah, so explain what's happened.
Her balls
come to a rest right in front of a tuft of grass. Yeah, like a bit of Parramatta grass or what do they call it over there in that stuff?
Little tuft of grass. That's all right.
Yeah.
Little tuft of grass.
And she's had a bit of a fiddle with it, with a club head, to say, "Well, what's that about?"
And see then the lie behind the ball, just kind of push bit the of a club fiddle. Down.
Yeah, just push the grass down that's immediately behind your ball to try and improve your lie. And the intent is there. That's the part I have an issue with. Around.
I don't know.
Well,
what was her intent then?
Clear. Yeah, what was the intent? Was it just to see how flexible the grass was?
Devil's advocate, but I'm a Lexi fan. I like Lexi Thompson. I just don't understand what she was trying to do.
Yeah. But does intent come into it? Because she hasn't improved a lie. You guys are saying she intended to. Did she? Or was she just, I don't know, had a brain snap?
The intent comes into it if she did improve the lie, if there was intent to improve the lie. But because she intended to improve the lie, but the lie didn't actually improve. So she was cleared because her shot was still the original shot that she had at the start.
So hang on. You're saying
she tried to cheat. It didn't work.
She tried to cheat. It didn't work.
It didn't work. And then she got lucky because what she tried to do didn't happen.
So are you a cheat if you try to cheat but it doesn't work? Or
look at Rahm. Look at Rahm. Rahm didn't know what he was doing by putting the ball, like putting the club head down behind the ball and it moving. Whereas this, she is blatantly just like trying to push over this to get to the ball, to get the club placed on the ball.
Can we agree, though, that Rahm got ripped off? Like, dead set, Rahm should never. And Rahm was only penalised because it wasn't going to have an impact to the result.
Yeah, I can agree.
I'd agree with you there. I think the comments on that one at the time in the podcast, it was if that was a one-shot, if he had a one-shot lead, it would have been handled totally different. They would have been ushered off into the scorer's hut afterwards and they would have dealt with it there and then, rather than it being a stupid question from Amanda straight after the anyway, we won't go back.
I think Lexi is she's had a brain snap. She hasn't broken the rules. Yeah, she shouldn't have done it, but I think people calling out the cheat word, I think it's a bit, I don't know, premature, shall we say.
Hasn't she done it before?
Yeah, she has, and she knows better than that. But she got screwed one time where they told her on the, when she was coming into the final round, I think it was the ANA, the major, and I think she ended up losing it as well. But anyways, all old Lexi, she'll learn. Moving on, but that, just in a wrap up with that, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and women's golf is just great. And over there at Troon, I think they announced they're playing Carnoustie next year, which should be great. Hopefully it's baked out as well. But yeah, loving seeing the girls golf at the moment. They're playing some really good golf. Who else do we have? PGA Tour, back to that, just Aussie wrap up quickly. Cam Smith as well. He ended up tied 18th. So Cam's doing well there. Cam Davis, obviously, 29th. Adam Scott Jones made the cut again, but does not make next week. So Day and Leash missed the cut, but they go through. European Tour was on the Wales Open. This was pretty sick. I watched this last night. I've been watching it on and off for the weekend, but last night, Romain Langasquet, probably saying that wrong. I tried to pronounce it four times before we started this, but now I forget how it was. He shot 8 under, won by 2 shots. He shot a 6 under final round. Now, there was 2 guys in the final grouping, which was, one of them was Soderberg and the other one was Syme. And they both shit the gear together today. But Soderberg hadn't. He needed a birdie on the last hole. Par 5, needs a birdie, last hole, to make the playoff. Hits a great drive, lays up short of the green, got a nice little flick wedge in there. He hits the front of the green, too much spin. It's a false front all the way down into the water, back down, into the water he goes.
Oh, ouch.
Then he hits his next wedge just above the hole where he wanted to hit it the first time. Then he runs his putt past about 5 feet. Then he misses the next putt across. He ends up making an 8, a triple on the last. It cost him just in the tournament itself, €70,000. He would have taken €101,000 just for second if he made a par. He ends up on tied fifth, which takes €33,000. Huge. But not only that, he then goes and finds out that he then missed out on qualifying for the US Open because of that triple as well. He was inside the US Open qualifying, and then that pushed him out as well. So I just gutted, and you could see how gutted he was. And the cameras followed him all the way into the, you know, scorecard room. They got the little booths there, and he's just like literally just sitting there, just hand is on his face. And you just felt for the guy so much. Yeah. But massive, massive win for Romain over there. Jason Scribner, great result, tied eighth over there. And a little spoiler there, Jason Scribner, I've been talking to him about having a chat with him. So it looks like we're going to have a chat with him here on GDA. So it'll be great to talk to him. Great result over there, tied eighth. So good to see him doing well. Minwoo Lee, another missed cut, which is strange. Zach Murray missed the cut. And Michael Campbell, US Open winner. He, we've been talking to him as well, and looks like we might be getting him on for a chat. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that one. So, some exciting people coming up on GDA.
Spoiler alert! That'll be fun. I think both those guys, Scribs and Michael Campbell, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
Looking forward to getting them on.
Yeah, awesome. Pamps had another good result. David McKenzie in the Champions Tour. Shane Birch ended up winning that minus 13 in a massive playoff over Bernard Langer, Kenny Perry, and Glenn Day. So they had a four-way playoff there, a big Cedar Lodge in the Charles Schwab. So Phil will be joining them next week.
Loving the Aussie raff around the grounds, mate. There's plenty of Aussies out there, which is really cool to see.
Yeah.
All right.
The British Open, the Ladies Open.
Yep, insert music. It's like the Batman music or something. We just need there, like, people don't know what's going to happen, and then bang, double par time, baby.
That's it. There was so many pars. Shout out. I don't know. Look, I'm not that.
It was more than your fingers.
More double pars than Instagram followers for double pars.
Not that close.
Steph Kyriakou, did you mention her? She was leading after.
Yeah, I know. I did. Yeah, I was going to, and then I forgot. But then also, kind of, I felt bad for her as well. She was leading, and then she made the cut. She ended up finishing tied 72.
Yeah,
but she had a 73 that open day, but then went 78, 78. She just made the cut, and then 74. So. Like Gabby Ruffles missed the cut as well, which is disappointing. But Steph was up there, and it was a good little run for her.
Yeah, and I follow young Steph on the socials, and look, I think she's someone to watch. I think you should keep that name in your back of your head, because I think she'll
she'll win. Her and Gabby Ruffles have got some big futures. Those two girls coming together.
Yeah, for sure. But on to the double pars. Look, I'll do the quick math. I think it come to 21. 21, and look,
which is great. That shows you how hard the course was, and they tested the girls over there in a major. Yeah. That's the way it should be. Like, it's, you know, we haven't even mentioned Hendy, but go on to the girls.
Hendy, yeah. So the girls, so 21, and it took me forever to screenshot because I'm not very tech savvy, you know. So I got to screenshot it, and then you got to edit it, and I think it took about three hours each day to do that. Do the thing that I do, and you see how high tech it is with the
double par life.
But can I just big shout out to Tiffany Joe, one of
the American
golfers. Yeah, she replied to me. She loved it, and I think this is in the spirit of what double pars are about. She said, "Made an 8-footer to save double par!" ! Smiley face or whatever those laughing face.
Tears rolling down your eyes, laughing face. I did see that, and I thought that was an absolute hilarious response.
Yeah, and that's the spirit, right? So that other clown on that other social media thingy, that's what it's about. Have a bit of fun, have a laugh. And it was actually good to look at their scores because it made me feel good as a chopper. And when I was doing them today, actually, I went through and I check every single one diligently because I can't miss any of them. And I had to double check because there was no squares around the top. So I'm like, is this a mistake?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they're all just pars, so it's just the number. I'm thinking, oh, maybe there's a mistake here. But no, they got better as the tournament went on, which we expect, I guess. But yeah, no, it was a good fun weekend. I agree with you, Nate. I think it was better to watch that than it was to watch the PGA with DJ killing it.
Yeah, so quickly going on with the double par, Hendy sent you a message as well, didn't he?
Hendy, what did he say?
He finally got back to you after last week. He called him out last week on the podcast. For those that missed last week's podcast, double par called him out. He said, give me some love.
He said, and I quote, special effort there. The first five shots took some energy, but the tap in for six was easy. And then he goes on an emoji rant. He's throwing a few COVID ones in there. I don't know what he's doing. But he's hashtagged golf life, love it, happens, boom. So go Hendy, you legend.
Go Hendy, you legend. And Hendy, it wasn't the response I asked you for in our private DMs, but thanks for reaching out to Double Par. I was trying to stitch you up, Double Par. I got in touch with Hendy throughout the week, and I said, Hendy, this is what's happened. I said, Can you please just go on there and give it to this guy? Just go on there and just have a crack at him. And I was so excited because he's like, yeah, that's fine. He goes, I joined the Double Par Club long ago, done that many times, I'm afraid. And I thought, this will be good. And then he put a really nice thing on there. And I was like, oh, damn it.
Wasn't it's the Double Par love.
It is.
Double Par love.
Everyone who meets Double Par thinks, like, they're just, it's love. It's golf love. We got to embrace
that. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Because the golf karma gods are up there, right? So the minute you do something like, and we'll go back to Lexi for a second when she's had a bit of a stab at the grass. Did you see her shot? Didn't help her. She ended up in the rough more. She ended up in 100%. The shoot.
Yeah. That's why she was trying to move it, you idiot.
Well, it didn't work. Do you reckon that played a part in the ruling? They've gone.
Yeah, exactly. It was still shit. I didn't take any advantage from it. Have a look at where it ended up. Moving
double
on.
Double par sounds better than a 10.
All right, then into a few highlights from the GDA group this week. So tipping was sponsored by Birds of Condor. Mate, how did you go this week, mate?
Look, it's not about me, mate. Mark Watts, he had a gallant victory, but I may have come equal first with Mark as well. He actually chased me down today. Ram shooting 6 under got me.
Yeah.
So we both picked DJ, which was obviously solid choice. And this week, him shooting 30 under, you had to choose DJ, otherwise you weren't going to win. And we both had Bryson in there. Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Bryson wasn't hurting us. You know, he was just sitting there at even par. Great tournament by Bryson, just even par. There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, obviously he had Rahm and who did he have? Rahm and McIlroy, and I had Xander and Patrick Reed going in there. So yeah, he, $70 each. We'll take that.
Yep. And in third was Michael Mraz with $40. Jai Lucas Whittle in fourth with $20 there as well. So yeah. Good round out for the tips this week as we head on to next week. GDA Tour sponsored by the Golf Factory. No one picked DJ in
crazy.
The GDA Tour this week. I don't know why that's the case. And he wasn't picked too many times in the tips either. So I know I did look at him and look past him. Unfortunately, I should have picked him, but it didn't help. It wouldn't have helped me anyway, really. I had three players that missed the cut. So wouldn't have helped too much.
But the jackpot's again, and I think we've got that many players that nearly everyone can pick a player each next week and someone can get the cash. We're getting down to 70 and then it's going to be down to 30. So it's coming to a close. Big points up for grabs again.
Is it going to get to a stage in the final round where everyone's just going to pick like the guy that's got the seeded entry into it?
Well, no, because what we did last year is that it goes off the scratch score from that week. So you don't get to with the minus 10. It goes off the scratch score. It should be interesting closeout to the season.
All right. And we've got PGA Tour 2K21.
Yeah, come out, PGA Tour 2K21. There was the golf club out there. So this is a game that's on, PlayStation, Xbox, PC for those gamers out there. It's just came out the other day. Fun game. I'm having some fun with it. We've created an online society there called Golf Days Australia. We've already got over 50 members that have jumped in there. I think it's one of the biggest societies that's already started online. So we've run a tour this week to replicate the PGA TPC Boston. And, yeah, it's a bit of fun. So if you've got PGA Tour on PlayStation or Xbox or whatever, go and jump on there. Golf Days Australia. We're going to run some fun tournaments going forward, maybe do some online streaming. Who knows? The possibilities are endless, but it's a bit of fun for all those nerds out there or like me, just want to get away from the kids.
So, Nate, I think Harry Higgs will be there. You talk about nerds, but is that a cross-platform game? Do you have to be specific?
Cross-platform.
Yeah, wow.
Okay. So Xbox players can play with PlayStation players in the same society?
Correct.
That's what cross-platform means, right?
Yeah, wanted to double-check that because we had a couple of questions in the group where guys, look at you, double par with the tech-savvy. We had a couple of questions in the group around has anyone started an Xbox society? So I wasn't aware that it was a cross-platform set up for this one. So,
Steve-o, yeah. I wasn't aware either. I had to ask because on the old golf club, because I bought that when the ISO hit and I thought I'm not going to get real golf. So I went and bought that. It was, I actually had to go and buy an Xbox 360 because that's what all the boys were playing on. I had the PlayStation or whatever because it wasn't cross-platform. So this is definitely cross-platform, Nate. Yep.
Look, I had no idea when you asked me. I've just Googled it. It's not.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
I didn't thought that was too good to be true. So what have you set your society up on? The PC?
PlayStation. PS4.
Oh, PS4. Okay.
Yeah. But it's a fun game.
So we don't see like
So 2K21, no. I haven't played a PlayStation golf game for a very, very long time. I took myself away from gaming because it got a bit out of hand. I'd be spending days just playing PlayStation or Xbox and just needed to do other better things in life than play gaming all the time. So I haven't played a golfing game for a very long time. I played this week's tournament and shot over four rounds, 21 under. I'm actually pretty happy with that. My putting is atrocious. I've chunked a few chip shots. And I'm looking forward to getting a little better at both of those.
Sounds like we're talking about are we talking about our own game here or are we talking about online?
Well, no, because I hit most fairways, so no.
What's your problem, double par?
Is this where we go into this week's game? We're talking about this weekend's game. I had a good one.
No, we're not talking about our games this weekend.
We won't talk about it this week. No.
All right, what did you do, double par? Come on, let's hear it. Did you shoot 100 at Magenta again?
Shut up.
I reckon from the sound of your voice, you're throwing those puppy dog eyes at us, but I can't see your face. So,
85 off the stick, which is great for me. One B grade, 38 stable for points. In like this wind, I reckon, is the strongest wind we've ever had ever.
Ever.
Killed it. Absolutely killed it.
Like the wind.
And that was with a wipe. Dead set with a wipe.
Were you playing the crane spin ball?
I've got the crane spin ball's been signed and it's my first prize, my first giveaway.
What do you got to do to get it?
Don't know yet. I gotta think about something.
you gibberers. Nobody cares about you gibberers going on about your own rounds and what you do on the weekend. And then here he comes, Mr. 38 points. Oh, I need to tell everybody this one.
Because the best thing is you're only going to ever hear that once every 2 years. So that's it, done. You won't hear that shit.
Back to the hundreds.
Back to the hundreds, Anyway, edit all of that out, Steve-o.
No, keep it in there. Keep it in there. All you need to know about my round was I got my wife to bring me an umbrella on the sixth hole.
Oh, it's a mad shout out. And you aren't far away from having your third child. So
we are 3 weeks away. I shouldn't say I got my wife. I asked my wife nicely and she packed the kids up in the car and came out because she knew that it was ridiculous that I was out there playing anyways, but she felt that sorry that she came and dropped me an umbrella. I needed it. So yeah, shout out to the wifey.
I got hay fever on the fucking on the bloody back nine this week. And
just drops the F bomb that bloody hay fever. Oh, fuck me.
Love a good F bomb.
I'm getting annoyed at this one, but yeah, I had hay fever on the back nine because of all the wind. It was annoying the crap out of me, and I had to keep apologising to the group because you know all this COVID stuff. I kept sneezing and blowing my nose and stuff. I'm like, guys, it's not COVID. I've got hay fever. And all I get from my wife, because I've gone, I am rat shit. I need to just chill out when I get home. And I get the message from the wife saying, you shouldn't have gone anyway. I'm like, oh. Like it was just the back nine. I didn't feel this way in the first place. But
and then you got to play the next nine holes knowing that it's not good. To her credit,
we had to take my son to a birthday party that night, and that's why I was sort of saying I need to come home and chill out. Can you take him? And to her credit, she packed up the bags and took him off to the birthday party. So thank you, Miso. You're a legend.
No, I want to go back to Nate's umbrella. Are you one of these wankers that spend like $80 on an umbrella?
Nah, I've won multiple umbrellas in like Hold'em Scrambles and stuff. So
can you give one to Double Park because he needs one? He doesn't have one.
Yeah, I'll probably have to give one away. But
I got a Bunnings umbrella.
I've never bought a golf umbrella, but I use them. Oh yeah, well, so our
go
playing,
back to that. He's got
my playing partner had a Bunnings. My playing partner had a Bunnings umbrella, and he's took off. He's took off 100 meters down the fairway because they're that solid. And like the golf umbrella will have a bit of an opening at the top to kind of you know bit stability. A Bunnings umbrella just made too good.
$10
Is that as bad as iron covers? Having a Bunnings umbrella on the course?
Not at all.
Not even near it. Bunnings umbrella is legendary. Bunnings umbrella is God mode. That is God level. That is.
Dead set.
Bunnings, if you're listening.
Bunnings hat. You know those Bunnings straw hats?
$10 if that is your first sponsor, that'd be great.
Oh, hit them up.
They need
free ads. No free ads.
Speaking of, mate, hit us up. Let's hear your rant for the week.
Oh, look, and you put me. I get this text message, Nate. I don't know if he told you, but Steve sends me this text this morning, going, "Can you come prepared with your rant?" Because last week you weren't.
I wasn't privy to that. No, I sent you, mate.
I'm like, wow, is this high school? I got to do some homework, and I even offered to pre-record it. I've got so much material.
Here was the message. Morning, mate. Can you flick a reminder to DP to get a rant ready for tonight? Yeah, no dramas, mate. Want me to record it and send it through? No, all good. Just reminding you to be ready.
Hey, on there
just
you
reminding you to be ready.
The other professional that I am, mate, I've got material out the wazoo. So I had two to choose from today. I've got, and you guys can pick. Here we go. Choose your own adventure. We have a vote.
Oh, here we go. Choose your own adventure. I like this. It's goosebumps. Come on.
And I'll just give you the
R.L. Stein.
I'll give you the taglines, and then you can tell me just off the taglines whether I go into my rant or not. Halfway house or equality in golf?
Halfway house. I'm worried about your equality of golf one. I don't want to get thrown off the air.
I would be too, Nate.
Halfway house. Let's go.
Okay. So -4 degrees wind chill on Saturday. And you know when you're like having a round and it's sort of there and you got the feng shui at halfway house. So you get your normal, you know, chalky milk or your beer or your chips or whatever you get. And on a cold day like that, it's always a dog's eye, right? It's always like a pie.
It's what I had. But I know where this is going. Go ahead.
And you get in there and you go onto the counter, got your chalky milk. No pies left.
No pies.
Oh my God!
At Tunkurry, you buy your pie pre starting the round.
It's what we have to do as well.
And you write your name on it.
Name on it. On a poster is ours.
Easiest thing to do, and then you come through on the ninth.
But
finish it up. Go in, grab it. Off you go.
I reckon my pro misses out on selling a dozen pies because people haven't done it beforehand or forgot, and then they get around and they're like, oh, I could do a pie right now, and there's nothing there. I'm like, 100%. surely throwing a couple out versus selling Like, yeah, I'm with you on that one. There is nothing worse when you want a pie and there is none there.
We've got the best pies at our club. Homemade. Oh, beautiful pies.
I'm a fan of the Villies pies. The Villies pies are ones that get me.
Pies are pretty good, yeah. We'll film it. Yeah, they're good. But
we need a pie sponsor.
We need some pie reviews. The Halfway House pie review. How's that?
Yeah.
Something in that.
All right.
Wouldn't happen. All I'm going to say wouldn't happen on Ladies' Day. That's all I'm saying.
Nate, you see what I did there? Nate, what's grinding your gears at the moment, Nate?
No, not. Oh, well, not really. I guess it could be grinding my gears. It depends. I guess time will tell. But James Sutherland, the man that ruined Australian cricket, brought the sport to its knees, was in charge of a toxic culture. Now, he's been announced as, and these are my takes and obviously a lot of other people's takes as well. He's been announced as the new CEO of Golf Australia. I'm not a massive James Sutherland fan, obviously. Look, I know he spent 20 years at Cricket Australia. I know he increased participation in the sport. I know a lot of that was with women in the sport of cricket as well. So he brings experience. I know he's got friends in high places. I know he's got good stakeholders financially and everything. I question his passion for golf, but I don't know. Any thoughts on the news that James Sutherland's now in charge of Golf Australia, the new CEO? And, you know, if my follow-on question is, what should he do or what would you do if you were in his shoes? So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I didn't like what he did with cricket. I didn't like where that all went through with that period with James Sutherland in charge. He's got a questionable history there. Golf have taken him on. I hope we're going to look back on it. And it's a really good, positive thing for Golf Australia. But I'm a bit worried about it. But my main question is, what would you do if you were James Sutherland?
I think to answer that first one in terms of what's my thoughts on the news in general, any time someone can spend 20 years in a role is obviously sticking true and pretty loyal. So from a tenure perspective, that's a box that's ticked for me. But there's also that situation, you know, like you watch those footy players that just stay a year too long. You know, I think he stayed a few years too long in this role and probably could have got out a little sooner and been better off for it.
I mean, he's huge in Big Bash, and Big Bash did massive things for cricket. You know, I've got to give him props where props are due.
Your ladies' Big Bash.
Yeah, the women's, you know, the women's World Cup and everything else, and having, you know, 100,000 people, the MCG, all the rest of it, he's done some good things. But it's just interesting, and he's in a big spot, and he's in a really good spot where he can do some good things. But obviously, there's a bit of a worry there as well.
To answer your hypothetical, there's probably two things that I'd concentrate on: grassroots golf, so introducing a minis program of some sort and getting more juniors in the door. I went to 3 different clubs last year on the coast to sign up my kids to start playing. And the first two that I went to wouldn't take them because they're too young. My oldest was 11 at the time, and they wouldn't take him.
Ridiculous.
My home club that I started at as a junior, I went to the previous places because I heard good things about their juniors program. Specifically went there because of that. And my home club that I was a junior at, went straight there, went straight into the pro shop. Pro went, yeah, sweet, no worries. We can have them all when we're starting up junior clinics very soon. We can have all 3 of them. My youngest is 7. So, you know, they would have taken all 3 of them. And then unfortunately COVID sort of hit and they stopped doing junior clinics, which is a pain in the backside. But, it was a pay-as-you-go situation for them too. So they would have taken them. So, yeah, first thing I'd concentrate on is grassroots golf, getting more juniors into the game and just having fun. Second thing would be, you know, bringing some power brokers into the game, into women's game. So you talked there about, you know, he knows some people in high places. I'd bring some power brokers into the women's game in Australia. And as you sort of highlighted before, Nate, you found the LPGA more interesting to watch than the PGA this week, and the PGA is in playoff mode. So if people aren't being interested in playoff mode and more interested in the LPGA at that time, then there's something there that needs to be grabbed a hold of. We've got some really talented young Aussies in the women's game, and they really struggle to be on tour itself, let alone getting sponsors. Amy is case in point. So Amy ran a golf day, as all our listeners would know, to raise funds for her to head back overseas and compete, you know, filled with awesome donations for auctions. Her club sponsor is, from what I understand, is non-official. She's got a merch sponsor, which is awesome, though. Women's sport has been taking off in this country for a number of years now. League jumped on because they were, you know, late to the game, pun intended, unfortunately, to compete against the AFL women's game as well. So, yeah, women's sport's been taking off. I'd be jumping straight into both of those, juniors and women's. Grow the game.
I like a double par. What do you reckon?
Look, I didn't even know who James Sutherland was until you mentioned him. I don't get into the politics of sports and shit like that,
but
I've gone to Sydney Morning Herald, and the first line, and you're on the money there, Steve, is he says inclusiveness will be a key objective when he begins his new role in October. So I think I agree with you. I think we need to get better in that space. I love what the Vic Open have done.
100%
Males together. Absolutely. Why haven't we done that earlier? And we've got the sport, we've got the product, we've got the handicap system, we've got everything that allows us to do it. We're so much in such a better position than the other sports that you mentioned, and it took us a while to get there. So if he can continue to do the good work that's happened there, I think he'll be successful. And I agree with you on juniors. I've got two kids myself, and just it's not as organized as soccer, as football, as any of that. It's just disjointed. There's no coordination. They've had a few cracks at it from that sort of Golf Australia level, but it doesn't have been. I don't know if it's just the area I'm in. Yeah, and we've got the product. Like, I mean, it's a game that I think I've been a big advocate of. 9-hole golf is the future. So you talk about Big Bash, and people don't have the attention span all the time. 9 holes, you can get in under 2 hours. You can do it Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and then spend the rest of the day with your family. And I think that it needs to tap into that, and I think we need to drive that, and I think we need to get more members. I mean, we're fortunate in COVID, we've actually had an increase in membership across the golf
fraternity.
So, yeah, now's the time.
Now is that time. And you've probably spotted it, Double Par as well. Mark Pavey has been doing some junior stuff at his course. So that's obviously just a par 3 9-hole course. Perfect for that junior-style game where they're still – you know, grasping the concept of the game and, you know, learning a little bit. And it can be for all school levels, all junior ages.
I agree. There's certain courses where you can't put a junior on. And you mentioned Magenta Shores. I wouldn't expect Magenta to have the setup there for juniors because of just the toughness of the course. But there's plenty of courses out there where we can get juniors involved. I mean, the thing is, and looking into Magenta, their membership for juniors is ridiculously cheap. Like, and a lot of courses are. You get the $100 off the government for your kids, and you pretty much got a free golf membership. So
I remember starting as a kid, like all we did was hit balls into the center of a cricket pitch. Like it wasn't we weren't out on course. Until we were good enough. And I understood that as a kid too. I think there's a certain age where you get to and you go, yeah, I understand that. And when I got my first handicap, I was like a kid in a candy store. Like I could go out and actually play on the course now. So that was the excitement that I got. So just making it fun for them to get into it first. So even with my kids, I don't try and sit there and school them in technique and get all that right. They can hold it like a baseball bat if they want to, as long as they're having fun. I don't care. I'll pull them up on a few bits and pieces just to help them along the way so they don't get pissed off when they can't hit it right. But that's about it, and just want to make it fun for them. So my kids
love aqua golf. I take them to the aqua golf range and hit balls into the water, and they love it. They absolutely love it. look, it's good to see that he's a member of Royal Melbourne. So I think he must have a passion for golf. And a shitload of money, but
probably just given to him. Yeah.
Look, at least he's involved at that level. I think. Let's give him a chance, Nate. Get off your soapbox, son.
Oh, get off. Hey, at least look, Peter Valantis can't even say rugby league. He says rugby league. So at least this guy can say golf. I'm sure if he gets that golf, we'll be right. But Peter Vlandis, I'm a fan of as well. But no, look, I think you've hit the nail on the head with both of those things. Definitely the grassroots has got to be something driven. I think AFL does it really good with their AusKick program, and everybody knows of the AusKick program that they do and how cheap it is and what they get given and everything else. And it's fun for kids when they get into it, compared to what the rugby league juniors do. You know, we're building on our juniors big time. Our pro out here, Jason Mimmo, just does a fantastic job with the juniors, makes it really fun for the school kids. There's a lot of them that get into it. We've got purple bricks that are in the ground that are the purple tees, that are the junior tees, that just make it, you know, another stepping stone. So there's definitely things that can be done there, but it's got to come from the top and it's got to be supported. Yeah. There's got to be money and packages given to local clubs to run these programs and to support those programs. And Vic Open hit it on the head. It is perfect. Having the girls and the guys play at the same time, I can't wait to take my kids to watch the golf. I always go, and to be honest, I haven't seen a women's comp tournament. I've gone to the Aussie Open. But to be able to, I've got a girl and a boy and another girl on the way, to take them down there and the girls can watch the girls and the boys can watch the boys and the boys can watch the girls and the girls can watch the boys. I just think it's just brilliant. And yeah, the day that we have the Australian Open running in succession with the girls Australian Open will just be brilliant. And I'm sure that they can make it happen.
Good call. I love it. That's a great, a great bit. Loved that. I don't even want to talk about what's grinding my gears. That was enough for that one. Yeah.
My takeaway, Steve, is I'm glad you're not giving your kids swing lessons.
Yeah, I did think that. Yep.
Yeah, I thought that's great. Yeah, smart man.
Yeah.
Mate, you and me both, don't worry. Yeah, the way I've been playing lately, we didn't talk about my round, so I'm happy about that.
Daddy caddy. I can't wait to be a daddy caddy. Oh, you seen the documentary on like the kids US, the US golf and stuff on Netflix? It's a great watch. You've got to see it. It's, the junior kids over there at the top level and the amount of daddy caddies, and some of them are just as crazy as anybody. Yes, tell
me
something.
How would you feel if you were one of the other daddy caddies and you got paired up with Tiger Woods' son?
I was going to say, great segue, hey? Tiger Woods' son, Charlie.
Standing there with the bag on his back, walking next to Charlie.
Yeah, he pretty cool. Yeah, he smashed it. Yeah. Charlie's got a decent swing, so he's going to have a lot of pressure on him. Poor bugger. Everywhere they go, it's all over the media. But, yeah, pretty cool seeing, you know, Tiger just walking down with a bag on the back, caddying for his son.
I saw that picture.
Yeah, the other dad.
The other dad, Steve-O, just to answer your question, he's like, there's no interaction. It's just like, what do I do here?
What do I do? What do I say? It would have been sick. It's a different Tiger now. It would have been a great day out.
If you were Charlie, do you wear red on Sunday?
100%.
Oh, very good. Charlie Woods brand coming out.
He's got a 3-stroke advantage already, hasn't he? He's only, 8 or 9. Every time he turns up.
He's generational. Oh, that's good. All right, cool. So, moving on. We move into the second round of the FedEx Cup playoffs. The top 70 head to Chi-Town next week for the BMW Championship. DJ's favourite at $8. Who's your tips, guys?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Olympia Field, Chicago. DJ's won twice there, goes in with the form, and he's won twice. Leash has won there in 2017, J-Day in 2015. I think that's the BMW I'm talking about. That might not be the actual course itself. But, Leash, Cam Smith, J-Day, Scotty are all in. Tiger's in. He's got a bit of momentum. I'm sticking strong with my beefcake, but I'd need to say that DJ would be my pick this week. I just think he runs with it again. And but I've got Alex Noren as my smoky. So Bryson's obviously a lock for me. DJ's my other pick, and then Noren is a smoky.
Vanilla custard, I reckon. Webb Simpson.
Vanilla pudding, you idiot.
It's the worst saying ever. I don't get it.
It actually came from another podcast I heard a couple of years ago, and they were talking about Paul Casey in it, and they described him as vanilla pudding, And that's what Webb Simpson is for me. He's just a plain old dessert that just, you know, if you have to have it, you have it, but you just rather avoid it and get something a bit more, you know, exotic.
So beefcake is paid $12. Vanilla pudding, aka Webb Simpson, is paying $19. Rory McIlroy is very short. Once again, $17. I don't know if I can get that. Gamble responsibly, by the way.
Yeah, my smoky, Steve, for the record, so we can put it on the record. Tiger Woods, you might have heard of
him. Wait, let me just record. Hold on, I'll just record. Yep.
Yeah.
What's Tiger paying, Steve?
41 on my app.
No free ads. Good. I like that you said my app.
My app.
Bet responsibly. But if there is the punning company out there that want to do something.
Correct. We run this whole segment. We run this whole segment.
31 on my app.
I'm taking mine. 41. 41 for Tiger. Seriously, pointy end of the season. The bloke isn't going too bad, let's be honest. I don't know. He's due for one.
Love to see him win and just get right up there for the Tour Championship.
Yep.
Which that he won a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I'm going to go JT.
JT Poston. He's $126.
That's brilliant. Good. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, that was good. Good one, Steve. Yeah.
Wait till the meetings and we clip that.
Justin Thomas, you know that one? Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, all good. Yeah. JT. Yeah.
Best dressed bloke.
And I'll go a Smokey and Rory McIlroy.
He should be $41. He should dead set be $41.
Yeah, he should be up there. JT. I can't even really think of a Smokey.
Harry Higgs, get on the Higgs Meister.
The Higgs train.
Everyone will be looking out for him.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas, not bad. He's defending champion, so.
Yep. Yeah, he's going to win it two years in a row. I'm not going to put money on it.
Hopefully it's not 30 under and by 12 shots and shooting 59, hitting half fairways. That's all I can say.
Yeah, you want it to be a lot more challenging than this week's round, don't you?
Well, you just quietly, you know what the course record at Olympia Fields is?
59.
Jimmy Furyk's 59.
Yeah. There's only one better.
And that was a great round. I did that. That was one of the all-time Jim Furyk rounds. But what's that?
The Big Easy is only one shot better in PGA history in 58. Round of 58. Look, that'd just be phenomenal. DJ should have hit that, really.
Oh, 57. Yeah. He should have shot 57.
Yeah. Can't get off that bandwagon. I'd be kicking myself. Not that I'd ever be in that position, but anyway.
Gibbering on now. Let's close it up, people.
We are gibbering now. We have gone on for a while now. So, thank you.
It's been a great one. Awesome one.
Thank you again for listening, guys. Take it easy. Enjoy golf. And we'll see you next week on the Golf Days Australia podcast.
Find the beefcake this week. Let's do it.
Double par. We need more of them.
That'll
fucking do.
I thought you normally do your, because it sounds better then.
Sounds better then, yeah. I need to mix it up.